God's word for you, Mark 6, verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven seven demons. Now, from this point, Mark lists five resurrection appearances of Jesus. They come from each of what I think of as four main periods of such appearances during the 40 days between Easter and Christ's ascension. In Jerusalem on Easter, in Jerusalem a week later, in Galilee, and finally in or near Jerusalem once again. Let's walk through these. So first, Easter Sunday. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and to the disciples traveling to Emmaus. Jesus also appeared to the other women at the tomb and to 10 of the apostles, that is, without Thomas, according to John 20. And he also appeared, Paul says, to Peter, 1 Corinthians 6:5. Second, a week later, still in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to the 11 apostles, and that's the Doubting Thomas episode. Third, later in Galilee, Jesus appeared to the apostles and gives the Great Commission. We'll get to that in Mark 16, 15 to 18. It's also at the end of Matthew 28. He had also appeared to seven of the disciples while they were fishing in Galilee. That's John 21. And perhaps it was in Galilee that he appeared to, as Paul says, more than 500 of the brothers at one time. That's 1 Corinthians 15:6. And fourth, finally, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus speaks to his apostles and ascends into heaven, Acts 1, and we'll get to that in Mark 16, 19. It was also probably in Jerusalem that he appeared to his brother James shortly before the ascension. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:7. So our attention now shifts from the angel at the tomb to Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Mark accomplishes this by saying, when Jesus rose, which obviously had already happened since the tomb was empty. Matthew records an appearance to the women who had spoken to the angel, but Mark focuses on Mary Magdalene, who was first. It is not strange that she is called Mary Magdalene twice in the same chapter, back in 16:1, since she is always called this, including twice in chapter 15, 1540 and 1547. As in Luke 8, verse 2, we're told that Jesus drove seven demons from her. The most obscure Greek verb tense appears here. It's the pluperfect. This verb tense describes an act which happened in the past and which also concluded in the past. So Jesus had driven seven demons from this woman, but the driving out was all done. The pluperfect is used for some other descriptions of demons being driven out in Luke 8:2, Luke 8:27, Luke 8:38. In fact, the word Mark uses is thrown out, ekbalo, a more picturesque word that paints the image of Jesus hoisting up a demon with a hand on its neck and the other hand on its belt loop to hurl it out the door. Did Jesus throw out these seven demons all at once, or one at a time, or in groups? It doesn't matter, as far as our understanding goes. He did this for her, and she put her faith in him. And I have also counted seven, I'll call them graces, about Mary that perhaps counter the awfulness of the seven demons. One, Jesus threw out those demons. Two, Mary contributed money or other support to Jesus' ministry on earth. Three, she followed Jesus on his final trip to Jerusalem. Four, she was present at the crucifixion. Five, she came to the tomb to anoint his body on Easter. Six, she received the first appearance of the risen Jesus. And seven, she reported to the apostles that Jesus had risen. Now here, Jesus appeared to Mary, and Mark tells us Mary was the first to see him. The word appear, phaino in Greek, is the root of the word from which we get epiphany. It means to show oneself in an ordinary way, as in Matthew 6:5, or for what was not seen to appear, as with angels and Matthew 1:20, rather, in other places. The prophecy about sending Elijah is on the appearance of the day of the Lord, according to Malachi 4:5 in our English Bibles. Shouldn't it have been to the apostles that Jesus appeared first? They had not exactly been pillars of a good example. They scattered from Gethsemane, and although Peter and John found their way back, Peter had denied him. John alone was at the cross, and for this he was given charge of Jesus' mother. Now, it was the third day since his crucifixion, the prophesied third day, the one he had specifically mentioned more than once. And where were they all? But the women came, the ones who were in the background during his ministry and who also put their faith in him. And Mary, who was sobbing and wailing, that's John 20:11. Mary, too, looked into the empty tomb. But after the other women ran away, Mary turned and saw Jesus. John tells us that she didn't know who he was, mistaking him for the gardener, the man who looked after the little graveyard, seeing, not comprehending, blessed, but not knowing just how blessed she was, she saw him. And we are poor mirror images of Mary. How often do we see but not recognize, hear but not comprehend? The matter should be so simple. It's me, Mary, Jesus. Don't you recognize me? But grief and even the fallen human nature clouds the vision. Who can this possibly be? It can't be Jesus, because I'm not looking for Jesus to be standing, walking, talking, looking me in the eye, unbloody, unhurt, unstained, and healed. Oh, it must be the little old man who looks after this place, this man who is neither little nor old. John tells us that Jesus spoke a word to her that finally made her recognize him, her name, Mary. Was it the way he said it? Was it that he knew her name at all? The gardener should have been a stranger. Was it his voice? I've been told that when I preach, I have a gospel voice. It's not intentional on my heart, but I'm told that on my part, but I'm told that people can tell when the law part is over and the gospel part has arrived, even before I get to the gospel words of a sentence. Surely this is far more the case with our Savior. His love for Mary was like his love for us all. We are, each and every one of us, the ones he came to save. Mary held him and would not let him go. Compare Song of Solomon 3:4 with John 20:17. He told her she couldn't keep that up, but that she should go and tell his brothers, the apostles. Oh, what an assignment! What a message! What a task to carry out! And she did. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.